20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Friday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL and the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Appreciate you, as always, for joining me. Today, we are going to go through some Packers X Factors. It's a little bit of a twist. We'll get there more in just a moment. Before we get there, quick shout out to new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Tegan, Vishal Vasudha, Cody Hammond, Foxy Smalls, Stephen Chamberlain, and Matt Kurth, and Brandon V. Appreciate all of you guys signing up, and apologize in advance or in hindsight for butchering some of those names, I am sure, but I appreciate you guys a ton for becoming all new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members. Now is a great time to check out those memberships. If you're looking for some videos in advance, now is the great time to do it. There is a ton of stuff out there. As you know, I'm going to be out the next week, and I'm getting all those videos uploaded ahead of time. And if you're looking for some extra stuff to listen to or watch over the weekend, sign up for a membership now and you get access to all of those videos in advance. As I mentioned, though, today we're going to be going over Packers X Factors for 2025. Now, the normal definition of this is a player, or players in this case, that their performance in the upcoming season could swing the Packers season in one way or another. Meaning if they perform well, this team can do well. And if they perform poorly, this team could perform poorly. Like, they could be the difference between this team making a run towards a Super Bowl or maybe not being up to par and well under standard of what we're expecting for this upcoming season. That's the general definition of an X factor for the coming season. And we could go through this and be like, well, number one on my list of X factors is Jordan Love. And number two is LVN because blah, blah, blah. And I shouldn't even make fun of it because I know I've done it before. And I know I'm probably going to do it again at some point in time. But I wanted to look at this a little bit different, because if we're looking at this in a real legitimate way for things that could swing this team one way or the other, the truth is it might almost be easier to tell you who the X factors aren't than who they are. Zach Tom is probably not an X factor. I mean, he would be if he got like injured or something, right? Or if all of a sudden he had a unbelievably bad season. But we know who Zach Tom is. He's a really good right tackle who is bordering on great, or maybe even is great already. And he's going to be great. He's been great pretty much since day one, maybe not day one, but since he got a starting job, he's been great and he's going to remain great. I don't have much fear in that or trepidation in that. He's just a really sound, incredible offensive tackle. Xavier McKinney, not an X factor. Again, it would be if somehow completely out of the blue, he just had a terrible season or decided to become the greatest, you know, football player in the history of the world. But we know that Xavier McKinney is great. He has been great. He's going to remain great. I don't have any concern about that either. I'm pretty certain guys like Sean Clifford is probably not going to be an X factor. Hopefully is not going to be an X factor this upcoming season. Emmanuel Wilson, probably not going to be an X factor. Some backups, and we could go through and through, probably not going to be on that list, right? But what I posit to you today is that this team is one freaking giant X factor. And we're going to go position by position on this, because everywhere you look is a player on this roster that has performed in pretty remarkably different ways at a very high level or at a not so great level, or at least like not to the level that we've seen, or maybe hasn't played great yet, but we know that the upside and the flashes are there and that they're capable of so much more. There are X factors all over this freaking team. And trying to narrow it down to 3, 4, or 5 almost seems silly, or trying to rank them from 3 to 7, whatever, right? It almost doesn't make sense. I think it almost makes more sense to go through and show you just how many people this season depends upon. And I think it kind of goes back to Brian Gutekunst talking about urgency as the very sort of last thing he did for the end of last season, or the kickoff to this offseason, by saying, it is time. Like, these players, this team is ready. The talent is there, but it has to be a collective effort by everyone on this team to take that next step into becoming a championship contender. I mentioned it the other day when the Oklahoma City Thunder won a championship. They were once the youngest team, and they're the second youngest team to ever win a championship still, but they were once that young up-and-coming team that it, there were times it felt like, is this team ever going to get over the hump? And they did it relatively quick, to be fair to them, but this season we saw their young core, specifically guys like, you know, Chet Holmgren and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, take that next step. Shai into complete superstardom as the MVP of the league. Chet and just the whole roster, right? They took that step in the right direction, and that's been building over a few year period of time. And this Packers team can theoretically, I think, be on a similar trajectory, but it's time for these players to take the step from good, solid, or inconsistent to being those star players that this team needs them to be in order to become a true championship contender. So we're going to go through all of these players that this season kind of hinges on in some way, shape, or form. And I think the point being here is, like, Jordan, of course, we'll talk about that. And it's a non-starter in the fact that if, like, just Jordan isn't good, good luck winning a Super Bowl, right? So that's a key one. But outside of him, it's not necessarily any one, two, or three guys taking this massive jump. It's a collective group continuing to take incremental steps in the positive direction and or just play at the level that we've already seen them play at and know that they are capable of and be more consistent while doing so. And again, it starts at quarterback, obviously, and Jordan Love, again, is the one that's non-negotiable. You could, if everyone else, and I mean everyone else, took a pretty sound jump in a positive direction, and Jordan was just kind of the same Jordan that we saw last year, maybe you can get enough there to make a run at something. But we all know that in order to make a real run, especially come playoff time, your quarterback's got to be performing at a pretty high level. And for Jordan, we have seen a couple different Jordan Loves, and it's more than just the injuries this past year. The injuries, of course, play a major factor here, and that's why sort of the evaluation for Jay Love at this point is an incomplete. We just don't know how much the injuries affected him. We think it's probably a lot, and that's probably why there was a little bit of a step back. Even within that step back, still a solid year for Jordan this past year, but not what we saw at the end of 2023. Even take last year aside, though, and the difference between the beginning of the first half of 2023. Remember that at the trade deadline, Brian Gutekunst in 2023 spoke pretty candidly that the second half of 2023 was going to be very important for Jordan to show if basically he was capable of being the starter. Like, there was still an open question as to even if he could be the guy in Green Bay. Spoiler, he could be the guy in Green Bay, and he showed that in the second half of 2023. But we saw a run from week 10 to the wild card game that was unbelievable from Jordan. But the first half of that season and last year left a little bit more to be desired from an overall standpoint and from a consistency standpoint. Those two differences in Jordan Love are pretty massive. From a PFF standpoint, in 2023, 83.6 grade for Jordan Love. In 2024, 75.8, a drop of almost 8 points this past year. Injuries, absolutely. Did that play a factor? Unequivocally. All right, so we know that already. But let me just also say this. That week 10 the wild card round for Jordan Love in 2023 for me was a plus 17.1 grade. From the divisional round game through all of last year, in that entire time, was a plus 6.0 grade. I'll say it again. Injuries, yes, we know all of that, but that's still a remarkably different quarterback. If Jordan is able to get back to that 2023 second half form, or my goodness, even better than that, hello. You are a Super Bowl contender for the foreseeable future. That's how important that is. If he is just, you know, maybe somewhere in between, right? Somewhere in between, you still have a legitimate chance, right? Like, that is still a really good quarterback. It's probably not top five, but you're absolutely in the conversation for top 10. If you've got a top 10 quarterback, you're involved in the conversations for being a contender if you've got everything else going well for you. So that could still be really good. If it's not, if it's just kind of what we saw the first half of 2023 and last year, that's more of the larger sample size and that's who he is. Like I said, you're going to need a lot of other things to go right. So needless to say, Jordan Love, a massive X factor for this upcoming season. At running back, it may seem on the surface of like, Josh Jacobs, we're good to go. We don't even need to discuss this. But might I remind you that in 2023, when I went through and graded every play for Josh Jacobs, and you can look at PFF's grade if you want as well, or just go watch the tape if you really want to dig deep into it. 2023 Josh Jacobs as a Raider was fine. It was okay. There's a reason why he was available in the free agent market at not an exorbitant cost. He was coming off, not arguably, but sincerely, the worst season of his career. His PFF grade, or sorry, not PFF grade, my grade for him, when I went through and graded that entire 2023 tape before he played with Green Bay after they signed him, in 2023, I gave him a plus 3.65 grade. Solid, fine. That's more in like the AJ Dillon territory than it is like an unbelievable running back. In 2024, my grade on Josh Jacobs was a plus 12.85. The difference there in what he is bringing to your team is pretty significant. I think we're all expecting Josh Jacobs to perform like Josh Jacobs did this past year, and maybe even better with an improved offensive line. That's sort of the viewpoint that we are going into the season with. If all of a sudden Josh Jacobs goes back to being what he was in 2023, that's a pretty significant step back at running back. Now, maybe your offensive line can pick up a little bit of the slack and block a little bit better so that Jacobs doesn't have to be as good and you can still get some good yardage out of it. But it would be very disappointing if you got that better blocking and Jacobs was just worse to not take advantage of it. So that is going to be, I think, an interesting one. And then, of course, the bigger one, just from a, you know, unknown expectation standpoint, is Marshawn Lloyd. Marshawn Lloyd, if you remember, not only third round pick, a lot of draft analysts, including Daniel Jeremiah, had him as the best running back in the 2024 NFL draft. And as I mentioned on multiple occasions, there were times in training camp 2024 where he looked like the best running back in training camp for Green Bay. There is so much talent there, but he has to stay healthy. He's going to have to hang on to the ball, which was a problem in college, and he's going to have to learn to pass protect. But if he can do those things, you can have a very talented running back that has the ability to be a little bit more of a game breaker in your backfield at any time that you want. That's another interesting dynamic here. We'll be right back. So the running back position on its surface, Josh Jacobs, Marshawn Lloyd, Emmanuel Wilson, Chris Brooks, it might not look like the biggest like differentiator, or it may not have this wide range of outcomes on the surface, but you look at it, and even what we've seen in the last 2 years from Josh Jacobs, that's a pretty wide range of outcomes. Marshawn Lloyd, whether he can be that guy that we think he can be or not, or it just doesn't work, he doesn't, you know, stay healthy or whatever, that's a pretty wide range of outcomes. So even running back, to me, a little bit of an X factor here. And of course, the biggest one in the entire team, maybe, is this wide receiver core of what the heck is this thing? We went into 2024 being pretty convinced that this was going to be one of the more awesome wide receiver cores in the league, because not only were they young, talented, chock full of potential, but they were super cheap. You weren't paying any of these guys. It was like $6 million total for the entire group, all coming off really pretty darn impressive 2023 campaigns. So this was like the envy of the entire league. You have this awesome wide receiver core that's super young, up and coming, already displayed what they're capable of in 2023, and you're paying them like $6 million in totality. It's a cheat code. It should have been a cheat code. It was not a cheat code. It did not work. I shouldn't say it didn't work at all, but certainly not to the level that we were expecting it. Romeo Dobbs took a step back. 2023, plus 6.55 grade. 2024, plus 3.55 grade. Down 3 points on my grading scale, plus a suspension in there. Just wasn't quite the same. Dontavian Wicks, huge step back. Plus 6.75 grade in 2023, plus 1.80 grade in 2024. Even Jaden Reed within the season, Jaden Reed, first 9 games last year, plus 6.85 grade. Last 9 games, plus 1.90 grade. Nowhere near the same player in the second half of the year that he was in the first half of the year. Then you add on Christian Watson's injury. How does he return? Does he look like himself? What week does he return? All of those sort of things. And add two high-end rookies that are in a rookie season, extremely high variance, meaning you could get some really impressive play out of them, or they could be more like redshirt type seasons. This is a ultimate all-time high variance position group that we have seen Romeo Dobbs, Dontavian Wicks, Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, and those guys play some really good football. We just didn't see it in anywhere near the consistency in 2024. And Matthew Golden and Savion Williams, we know, are ultra-talented players. but what they can be in 2025, also a complete mystery box. So there is not a bigger X factor position group on this team, in my opinion, than the Packers wide receiver group. Am I very bullish on them? Absolutely. Do they still have to go out there and prove it? Unequivocally. So this is, to me, a huge, huge question mark as to how this team performs. A lot of it is going to be up to the playmaking ability of these young wide receivers. At tight end, Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave. Now, Tucker Kraft, we have a really good baseline on, right? I think we know he is a really good tight end. And that's one that, to some extent, you can set it and forget it, not have to worry about it. And you may not think of that as an X factor either. But what I will say is, I think Tucker Kraft has first team all-pro ability. That's a lot to put on a player. That's a high expectation. That's a high bar to set. I just think he's that freaking good. I think he's going to get better as a route runner. He is focused on it. Everything that he is focused on in his career so far, he has reached it. Like, he has gotten better at it. His run after the catch is fantastic. He's great at plucking the ball out of the air. He has everything that you need, and he's a more than serviceable blocker at tight end as well. He has everything in his toolbox to be as good of a tight end as we have in this league right now. So to me, there is still that opportunity there for him to grow a whole nother level, take a big time jump. And imagine what that does to Jordan if all of a sudden you have a first team all pro or even second team all pro caliber tight end to throw to as that safety valve. And then the second one, of course, is Luke Musgrave. PFF's grade in 2023, 68.1. This past year, only 47.1, took a 21-point hit. Not to mention he played 342 fewer snaps. We can have the same conversation that we did about Jordan Love. Clearly, injuries played a major part, wasn't able to stay on the field. But even when he was on the field, it didn't look like the same Luke Musgrave that we saw in 2023, in 2024. Take it a step further than that. The expectation on him coming out as a second round pick, even if it was going to take a hot second, was that this is a massively talented tight end, one that even was more talented than Tucker Kraft because he was taken in the second round. And that's not hyperbole. Like, he was expected to be the better of the two tight ends. And it hasn't come to fruition quite that way. As I mentioned in minicamp and OTAs, it does feel like he is a little bit more calm in a good way. Like, the game is coming to him more. And then that raw natural talent is just oozing out of him rather than him trying to maybe do a little bit too much, trying to go a little bit too fast. So I like what I've seen out of Musgrave this offseason so far in small sample size, but hopefully he can carry that over into training camp and into the regular season as well. Because if he can, I think you have a really dynamic two tight end set. And imagine again the difference here between a all-pro tight end in Tucker Kraft and a really unbelievably dynamic tight end in Luke Musgrave, or just a really good Tucker Kraft and a tight end in Luke Musgrave that is the same that we saw last year, that can't really stay on the field, and when he is, there's nothing to write home about. Those are two very different tight end rooms and could really alter the state of the offense. Offensive line is another easy one. Like I said, Zach Tom is the one set it and forget it on offense, and you don't even have to worry about it. You basically know what you're going to get. Anthony Belton and Jordan Morgan, two complete mystery boxes at this point. First round pick, second round pick. The expectations are high. What can they bring to the table? Could be busts, could be looking like Pro Bowl, not Pro Bowl probably, but like really good, solid starting offensive linemen. High-end variants there. Rashid Walker, in the last two seasons, during the first 8 weeks-ish of the year, he really struggled. I thought he struggled at the beginning of 2023, thought he struggled at the beginning of 2024. In the second half of each year, I thought he looked really good. In the second half of 2023, I thought he looked legitimately like a really, really great left tackle. The second half of 2024, I thought he looked really good. Like, he's solid, very, more than serviceable, solid starting left tackle. But either way, the second half of each year was better than the first half. If Rashid Walker can put it together and say, hey, I'm going to play the whole year that way, you're looking at a plus graded offensive tackle at that left tackle spot, and probably somebody that, you know, Jordan Morgan might not even see the field because Walker's just playing so well. If it goes the other way, or he struggles in those first 9 weeks, again, 8-9 weeks, we could see a Jordan Morgan maybe take over at that spot. So that's an interesting one. Elgton Jenkins, of course, moving from guard to center. I expect him still to be really good, but that move to center is adding a little bit more of a question mark to the entire equation. Not to mention, he's not practicing in OTAs or mini camps because of the contract situation. And it seems, at this point at least, like that could linger into training camp as well. Sean Ryan was maybe one of the most up and down players within the season, meaning that there were some really great games out of Sean Ryan, but there are also some games where it's just like, that is not what I saw a week ago. So like week to week, you could see a totally different player. One of the more Jekyll and Hyde players. Now it still ended up as a net positive. I thought he was really good overall in the season, but there would be that variance between games. Can he find that level of consistency? And then we talked about Aaron Banks the other day. His final six games last year, -0.65 grade. But in his first seven, he had a +2.90. Looked unbelievable over those first seven games. If that's just who he is, if he can take that and extrapolate it through the course of an entire season, you are talking about potentially the best offensive lineman on this team. If that -0.65 is the real Aaron Banks, and that is extrapolated over the course of the season, you've got probably your fourth or fifth, probably your fifth offensive lineman, still better than Josh Myers, but not by a ton. And it's if it's just somewhere in the middle, you've got a good solid guard, but maybe not spectacular, maybe not worth the 4 years, $77 million that you gave him. So that is a range of outcomes as well. So that entire offensive line, I think good baseline, you've got opportunities and options, and Zach Tom is a stud at right tackle, but still a lot of potential variance there at a variety of different positions. Defensive line, just your top four. We don't even need to go past that. And even Carl Brooks, Colby Wooden, Baron Sorrell, Colin Oliver, those are all very unique conversations we could all have as well. How about Kenny Clark? 2023 per PFF, 66 pressures and 10 sacks. In 2024, 34 pressures and one sack. Imagine I told you that nothing else really changed on defense, but you added 32 pressures for Kenny Clark. That's basically two additional pressures per game and nine additional sacks. That is a huge difference. We'll be right back. Now, we know in hindsight that Kenny was battling some injury issues this past year, and hopefully he can come back and play at the level that he was just at in 2023. But can you imagine? Can you imagine an additional 32 pressures and nine sacks on the season just from Kenny Clark? How much that would change that defensive front? It would be huge. How about Rashawn Gary? In 2021, Rashawn Gary had 87 pressures. 87. In 2023, he had 66. This past year, he had 49. Continues to decline. What if I told you that Rashawn Gary went back to 87 pressures? That's 38 more pressures. Again, basically two more pressures per game from Rashawn Gary. Imagine the impact that that would have. Devontae Wyatt had 48 pressures in 2023 for an interior defensive lineman. Pretty good. And I think he can even do better than that, quite frankly. Had only 32 in 2024. Imagine you added a pressure per game from Devontae Wyatt. And then LVN, top 15 pick, upside. The production has not been there. But we know he's a talented individual. We know that all the height, weight, speed, strength, all of that stuff is there. But he has to put it together, put a pass rush plan together, and be much better than he was this past season, where he's basically getting like one pressure per game. If he can get to the level of just getting like 40 pressures, which would be, again, the lowest on that group from this past year, basically, or right around it, that would be a huge jump for him. And I do think he's capable of it. So that defensive front and what they can do from a pressure standpoint, just from Clark, Gary, Wyatt, and LVN, and specifically in Wyatt, Gary, and Clark from what we've seen before, again, you get to those 38 additional pressures for Gary, 32 for what? So that's 70 from Gary and Clark, and 16 more from Wyatt. So 86. Take LVN even out of the equation. Imagine you got 86 more pressures from Clark, Gary, and Wyatt. And I'm not even asking them to do something that they've never done before. All three of those just did it in recent seasons. Imagine adding that much pressure through the course of a season. It would be remarkable. At linebacker, Quay Walker, a +1.25 grade in his final five games this past year, a -3.45 grade in the weeks before that. That is an unbelievable swing. If you get that good Quay Walker the rest of the season, or the rest of his time in Green Bay and through this season, that is a stud linebacker that legitimately is probably in the conversation for a Pro Bowl spot. If you get the bad Quay, well, we've seen that Quay. It's frustrating because you see the talent, but the production on the field doesn't match it. That's a big swing. Edger and Cooper, we're just all expecting to be a stud. Plus 4.75 grade in his rookie season. One of the best players on the field at the end of last year. It was remarkable what he was capable of. If all of a sudden he has a sophomore slump or just takes a little bit of a step back with Anthony Campanelli being gone, that would be a huge issue. And on the flip side, imagine he gets better, adds that weight, is able to play more, and now we're seeing him on the field just fly around making all these plays. The upside is unbelievable. Like I said the other day, I think best linebacker in the league is a worthwhile goal for him. I think he can be that freaking good. That could make things much different for Jeff Hafley in that defense. Of course, corner, you're going to need the high-end upside out of Nate Hobbs, Keyshawn Nixon, and Carrington Valentine. Also, Nate Hobbs has not been able to stay healthy the past 3 years. That's a swing. Keyshawn Nixon, was that last 10-ish games on the outside at corner for real? Or was it just a lucky small sample size? There is a lot of times a very large variance at the cornerback position year in and year out. If he falls back, that's going to be an issue. If he takes another step forward like he seemingly continues to do, that would be amazing. And Carrington Valentine, in his 10 games before the final game of the year, plus 1.7 grade, was looking really good. Then in the final game, a negative 1.30 grade just in that one game alone to kind of bring him back down to earth. That play against Dallas Goedert, a memorable one in a very negative way. Your corner room has a lot of variance and is a big X factor for this season. Evan Williams, plus 2.85 grade in his first 9 games this past year, negative 1.05 grade in his final 4. Rookie wall, probably hit a little bit of it, didn't play quite the same. But I think we're all expecting really good Evan Williams. But what if those last 4 games was more indicative of what he's going to be this year? That would be scary. And probably Javon Bullard's going to have to take his spot at that point in time. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think Evan's going to be great. But there was even a variance just in this past season for Evan. Javon Bullard's another one. We saw some really good play at times at both safety and in the nickel, but him moving around quite a bit, even within the game, definitely seemed to cause some confusion for him at times, and it didn't always seem to put him in the best position to be successful. How he gets utilized could go a long way. Even on special teams, Daniel Whalen, through different parts of the season, there were times he was absolutely crushing the ball with incredible hang time, and other parts of the year it was like, did this dude forget how to punt? All of this, from quarterback to punter, is a unbelievable high variance for what this team could potentially be. Like I said, it's easier to go over the players that probably aren't much, and that is Xavier McKinney and Zach Tom, and again, some of the backup players, etc. But those starters, we have seen some really good play from almost all of them, and we've seen some very inconsistent play from almost all of them. And which version of each of those that you get is going to go a massively long way in trying to figure out what type of team you have this upcoming season. Urgency. These players need to have it. And if the coaching staff, from head coach down to the rest of the core of the individual coaches, can get these players to play at the level that we know, we're not projecting. There's an LVN we're projecting, a Matthew Golden. There's a couple of them that we're projecting, right? But almost all the other ones, we have seen it on tape. We've seen it for large chunks of time, that they are capable of a lot, that they are capable of being incredibly talented players in this league. But we also saw a year last year where a lot of those guys took a step back. That, first of all, that can't happen again. If in 2025, we not only don't see these guys playing to potential, but we see another regression, it's going to be a problem. There's no two ways around it. Not only can it not be a regression, it can't just be a status quo. There has to be real progress from all of these players. This season, this team, this everything, it is a huge X factor. And I believe it's really a tipping point for this franchise, for this core is what I should say, as to what they can be. I think if they take a real step forward, we're talking about a legit contender for the next 3-4 years, at least. And I think if they take another step back after a step back this past year, and they don't make the playoffs, I think you need to do some reevaluating. And that's not, no, you don't necessarily, depending on what the record is, but just a slight miss, you go 8-9 or something like that. It's not a fire Matt LaFleur. It's not a fire Brian Gutekunst. It's not a panic situation, but it is a, we might need to do some reevaluating here. What were the weaknesses? Why were they weaknesses? And why were players taking a step back? I think this is a very big again, fulcrum sort of where this team goes moving forward. And I think that makes this season incredibly interesting, and the entire team, the entire roster, and the entire season as one massive X factor. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Always appreciate it. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Mo Sada, Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Ritaka, Jay Zimmerman, B Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Jay Conner, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelstinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Matt Geiger, Pack Attack Cast, and Chris Weish. I will see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go. We'll be right back.